Welcome to the ITAD Talk Podcast with your host, Jeff Bittner, and part two in this series.
We use, we have KPIs, which is key performance indicators, because we actually had the Likert Institute come here. I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Jeffrey Likert. He wrote the Toyota Way, and we had his company come in here and work with us. And one of the first things they said was, how do we know if I'm an employee here, how do I know if I'm winning or losing? Mm-hmm. We weren't setting key performance indicators to let you know at noon, are you ahead or behind? You know, at 5 o'clock when you leave, do you leave with your head high knowing you met the day's goals? You know what I mean? Where are you standing? So that's been a huge focus point is.
So Chuck, a quick question on that exact topic. So if a staff member's work is varied, how do you put the performance indicator on that? Because if they're doing multiple jobs, so one morning they're doing this, another morning they're doing that, for example.
Well, again, it's not the person, it's the process. So we have expectations on the process based on time. So we use an and-on light system at every workstation, and it's four colored lights. And green means I'm processing product on time and I'm meeting my tack time. And that tells everybody around you, hey, I'm doing great here. I'm not struggling. Then if they encounter a problem, they flip the light to yellow. And once that goes yellow, a timer starts and they have 10 minutes to get localized help to get that process moving again. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so anybody with eyesight of the yellow light is going to come over and try to help them. And you're warning people on either side of you, hey, I'm slowing down, could have an effect. Now, after 10 minutes, if they haven't solved the problem, it turns to red. And once it turns to red, they have 15 minutes where the department leader will come in and help them problem solve. And it's important that you hear what I said, which was help them problem solve. They're not going to come in, you know what I mean, and solve their problem.
Okay.
If after 15 minutes they haven't fixed it, they call the red team. And we have three people, and they rotate in red shirts. And they're very well trained in problem solving that we've learned from the Toyota production system. Do you see what I mean? And then they'll come on and really help you get the problem solved, and so we can get flow established. And then we have another light, which is blue, which means I'm ready to go, but I don't have any material. So we liken it to if your son or daughter was in school and they had a problem, you would want them to raise their hand, right? And then within a reasonable amount of time, you want them to make sure they're getting help in solving the problem. So if you follow John Shook, he said that in an average Toyota Camry factory, there's 2,000 employees. And any employee can pull the cord and stop the production line. They want to deal with the problem, right? It's like one piece problem solving. On average, I normally ask people, I say, how many times do you think somebody pulls the cord saying, I have a problem in an average Toyota factory with 2,000 employees? And we get responses from, you know, you would think they've been doing this for 60 years. There should be very few problems, right? Mm-hmm. But on average, each factory is a little over 15,000 times a day they identify a problem.
Oh my gosh.
And we say in our company, we don't have enough problems.
Wow.
I believe it was Tiichi Ono or maybe Shigeo Shingo that said, having no problem is the biggest problem. And so we actually put a video, if you go onto our YouTube channel at In the Ditch Towing Products, we have one on there called Stopping is Good. And we did a play on Ignacio from Nacho Libre, where we try to teach people that stopping is good. You're not going to get in trouble. You know, we had to ask ourselves, why isn't anybody stopping when they have a problem? Well, people don't want to stop because they're afraid they'll look dumb, you know what I mean, or they'll get in trouble. And we had to learn this from Toyota, that we need a no-blame environment and that stopping is good, and we reward you with money when you stop.
Really?
Wow. Right now, we're reporting about 25 problems a day. We have a little over 100 employees, so we're way short of where we need to be of identifying problems. But can you imagine how empowered you would feel working someplace when you say, hey, I got a problem, and people actually come help you solve the problem? You know, you could never go home if you work here and tell your wife or your husband, man, if I worked there, this is how I would do it. Because all you have to do is ask for help and you can make a change.
And so as I think I remember too, that you actually give your staff members a certain amount of money that they can spend to solve a problem. Is that correct? Like me?
Yeah. So every employee can make a $200 decision instantly. You know, I've been with companies where I've actually been to lunch with a business owner and employees actually called him saying they ran out of toilet paper.
Oh my gosh.
And they wanted to know if they could take petty cash to go buy some toilet paper.
Wow.
So, yeah, anybody can spend up to $200. But you got to understand. So we do Kaizen, and we do them continually, which is many small changes by the people doing the work. So anybody in this company can change anything as long as they meet with two other people that can best help them make the change. And one of them always has to be the originator. So an example, if you came to our facility, all of our trash cans are taped out with a yellow, with yellow tape. If you wanted to move one, you would have to say, I need to find out who taped this in the first place and invite them. And then one other person, you pitch your idea. I want to move the trash can. Here's why. If they give you thumbs up, you make the change. And we do that, you know, 20, 30 times a day. There's a Kaizen going on. So it's continuous improvement, continuous improvement. We learned from Paul Akers, you know, just ask everybody for a 2-second improvement. Sorry about that. I'll yield.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember on one of your videos that you were marking how many steps, and it may have been the trash can. I'm not sure what it was, but to change, and you figured up how many steps it was a day and how many times a day they went over there and how many times a year, and you multiplied that out. And just by making one small change, you know, that freed up so many hours of labor for that person. So anyway.
Yeah, that's called value stream mapping. And it's just unbelievable. We've proven time and time and time again, we can make time out of midair.
Wow.
And everybody says they don't have enough time, and there's ways to find more time, and that's through efficiencies.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it's so critical. So I have a post-it note on my desk that says, when you tell somebody what to do, you take away ownership and responsibility.
Wow.
And so it's very important that the employees doing the work are actually involved in the process improvement. So they have ownership and responsibility in it.
Don't forget to subscribe and like the show on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you listen.